We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins. Brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. Mike Parker along with John Warren, and the podcast, as always, presented by Hom Kombucha. Handcrafted with love and Bend for Beaver Nation. Fizzy, delicious, made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients, Hom Kombucha. We visited earlier, full disclosure here, we visited this week on our local Joe show with Kim Yamassi, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Development at Oregon State, and has been in that position since August of 2015. We will touch in the conversation along the way with some of his other stops at Central Florida, Memphis, Indiana, Michigan State. He was at Central Florida most recently before coming to Corvallis 5 years ago. A wide-ranging conversation with Kimya, including his own playing days as a pitcher at Michigan State, his alma mater in the late 90s, four-year letterman there. But the starting point with Kimya was what has been happening of late as he works very closely with student athletes and on the entire campus in a very collaborative effort with what's been going on in our country, what our student athletes have been involved with Black Lives Matters, protests, demonstrations, working closely amongst themselves as student athletes to organize events. And we'll just dive into it here with Kim Yamassi observing all of that, working with student athletes, with them on behalf of some of the efforts that have been spearheaded by the athletes themselves, but not only those recent efforts, but COVID-19 pandemic responses by student athletes and things they have done to help in the community. It was a wide-ranging conversation, and I just asked for Kimya in his seat working with student athlete development just how proud he's been of watching the student athletes at work over these last 3 months.
Yeah, sure. It's actually been extremely inspiring, Mike. I think this is one of these critical times in history, not just at Oregon State, but in the state of our nation, our community, that you really find out what people are made of and you see the integrity of people around you, and specifically talking about our student athletes. And these young men and women who are 18 to 23 years old, who are really the next generation that's going to make a significant difference and contribution to what this country will look like and what it will be. It has made me feel very, very good about the fact that we're in great hands. And people like Joel and Maddie, you mentioned, and Jaden Grant and Mateo Olmos and Nia Buckner, Nia Mack, Sydney Guthrie Baker. I could go on and on and on about some of these young men and women who are stepping up as leaders, not just on their teams, but in this community, to have a voice. And it's really, really inspiring and motivating and makes me feel really blessed to do what I do every day.
Kimya Maddie told us about the forum that was held and put together between the African-American athletes along with the white athletes, and just the conversation that they had about teaching, talking about some things that they go through, and said it was very, very well received and everything worked out. Is that kind of some of the things you're talking about in these leaders that you're speaking of?
Yes. So we did have a forum, again, created by and led by student athletes. And we've always really liked and enjoyed the concept of student athletes leading. And we guide them. We structure some things, yes. But one thing about Oregon State I feel really strongly about is that we let our student athletes have a voice. And we do think that they accomplish more in outside of just the realm of sport because they have a voice. So they're able to have this forum with student athletes as a whole and to just really share, educate, learn, get to know each other in a little bit better way. And as a matter of fact, I just got off a call with several of the student athletes here recently, about an hour ago, half an hour ago, had a really robust conversation, and they're already planning their next forum for students. And in addition to a plethora of other ideas about what kind of actual action items and steps they're going to take and want to take to continue to move forward in progress. As we talk about Black Lives Matter, and we talk about what we need to be learning and educating ourselves upon as we move forward in our society.
Kimya Massey, Senior Associate Athletic Director at Oregon State, joining us. Kimya, when you say you want these efforts, and it sounds like it's happened organically in real time, so to speak, with the student athletes responding to things they're seeing and hearing and being touched by deeply, that's the sense we're getting. And yet you have a role as a leader yourself for student athlete development. So how has this sort of atmosphere that you're talking about have been so impressed by been fostered? Do they come to you? Do you have meetings with them virtually and kick around ideas and they run with it? Do they come to you and say, here's what we'd like to do, and you help facilitate? How does that work?
You know, good question, Mike. It's a little bit of both. You know, I think part of our platform is helping educate students for life after sport, and we try to put them in positions to where they're exposed to different things or made aware of things. They're professionally being developed, they're personally developing, and they're ready for whatever that next step is. So along those lines, we build relationships with these students that goes beyond just transactional things. You know, they really are transformational opportunities to help students, and really they help us and to see things from a different perspective. So as this sort of evolved, some of these leaders really stepped up and said, hey, this is something that clearly impacts us directly, but we want to make sure that we're doing right by our fellow student athletes, our communities. And we said, yes, we agree. And we work in collaboration, just so you know, very closely with different campus partners like Student Engagement Experience. We work with our cultural centers, the Office of Institutional Diversity. We try to stay in lockstep with what's happening on campus. And when these students came to us and said, we have some ideas, then we can go back to them and say, hey, we also have some ideas. Let's collaborate. So we've started doing weekly Zoom meetings with our student athlete leaders, our Black student athlete leaders, to really talk about what it is that we want to accomplish and what it is that we can do to help them from an administrative standpoint. And right now, the students are putting together a structured platform. I'm not going to give it away yet, but I think it's going to be something that everybody sees as not only worthwhile, but something that's been extremely impactful, similar to what we did with Damn Worth It and mental health awareness. I think you're going to see something coming out of this that's going to be a longstanding and sustainable programming that is going to make everyone very proud. But realistically, guys, just something that's real change. We've been talking for years and years and years about change, and it doesn't seem like there's that much progress at times. So this is an opportunity that we all need to grasp, and you hopefully look at that silver lining of opportunity. But back to your original question, the students have really initiated a lot of this conversation. As administrators, we're here to help guide and structure them.
When will this come out?
Sooner than later. We don't know exactly yet, but we're working through it. We want it to be something that's structured, organized. We want it to be something that can be executed and actually done in a way that's, done in a way that our campus and community can feel proud. And obviously, we want to make sure our leadership on campus and obviously within athletics, Scott Barnes, everybody's aware and in the loop. And they have been. They've been great. You know, I can't say enough about Scott's leadership and all of our leaders and our executive staff and folks on campus of supporting students and supporting new ideas. I do think there is a wind of change now that the momentum is there, so we're going to grasp that and go. So no timetable set, but it's coming.
That's really great news, Kimya. Kimya Massey joining us, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Student Athlete Development at Oregon State. We have been, as we should be, I mean, caught up in here in the last couple of weeks with the student athlete led and other students, of course, on campus. As you said, it's a fully collaborative effort here locally in our community, and not just the campus, but the entire community of Corvallis, getting involved with the three different gatherings in the Black Lives Matter movement and marches and speeches at the Benton County Courthouse steps and on campus here, where the last event culminated Monday. And it hasn't been lost in the meantime by any means, but when we go back to mid-March and the closing of campuses everywhere after March 11th hits, Jared Lucas hits a shot, Beavers win, we celebrate, everything since then feels so different, Kimya, that the COVID-19 pandemic has also challenged in so many ways the student athletes and everyone, of course. But what about some of the things that students have led and done in the community since that time that you've also been very impressed by?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And I think since mid-March, it's been a really quick dynamic change for their lives in this community, as we all know. But I've been really proud of what they've been able to do. And I think actually in a weird way, the connectivity has been stronger. The students are actually, I think, ready to be done with school. Obviously, this week is finals week. But in addition to going to school and continuing to stay up on things, I think their leadership development has grown. We've been able to do some really cool activities with the students through Zoom to help them develop as leaders, again, obtain the voice, understand what they're going through. We talked a lot about student-athlete identity at the beginning of this because for the first time in their lives, sport has been ripped away from them in a way that no one foresaw. And for a lot of athletes, 98% of them, they're not going to be professional athletes. So for them to actually see this sort of take place and say, whoa, I don't have my sport. What am I going to do? Who am I? How do I project myself in other ways? It was really eye-opening, but I'm really proud of some of the activities, again, student-led, that they did to get together and talk about their identity outside of sport, to talk about ways to get back to the community, to talk about ways that can help motivate future Beavers, things of that nature. We also did some really cool activities with the local library, the Corvallis Library, and us have a really great program called Read with the Bees. And when this hit, we obviously couldn't go there in person to read with the students, but we were able to still do Zoom readings with our students in the communities in the local elementary school. Children through the library, and we had quite a few student athletes participate in that. So they're still finding ways to give back to this community. They're still finding ways to connect to each other. And I think just in talking to some of our coaches and staffs, some of these teams, I think, have become actually closer because they've been impacted by COVID in some way, shape, or form. They've realized who they are as people outside of sport, and they're really looking now at how do I progress as a human being and a person in addition to what I'll be doing athletically when we do return. So, again, silver lining and everything. I think there's been some really challenging times, but there's also been some really productive times as well.
No, actually, as a father and one who observes and works with the athletes from the outside, that's one of the things I always worry about is, like you say, 99% of them need to have another plan, and many of them don't. So you took the words right out of my mouth, silver lining. It's almost like you don't wish for what we went through, but at the same time, you wish for something that does give these young men and women a reminder that you got to have something else. Be ready for it because you're not going pro. And in this case, it is a silver lining, and you say that they handled it very well.
They did, and I think what COVID has done is really made everybody slow down a bit and take a really different look and a different perspective on the world around them. Obviously, this particular issue with the racial injustice that's happening across our country is another angle of that. But I think prior to that case happening, I think it really forced them to slow down, obviously rest their bodies a little bit, things of that nature. But really looking to the mental side of things, and not only just professional and personal development, but just think about what they need to do for themselves, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, and allowed our staff to be able to help them in terms of looking at that. And we did some group meetings with different teams and things of that nature, just to talk about leadership and to talk about personal development and to talk about financial literacy, to talk about how things work when you pay your taxes outside of real life or outside of school and get to real life. So it's allowed us to really broach some other topics that we sometimes just don't have as much time for.
Kimya Massey joining us. Kimya, we want to kind of get to your own experiences and getting to Oregon State and then look back a little bit as your career as a pitcher at Michigan State, something we've never talked to you about before. So we look forward to that. But before we get to that specifically, before coming here, you'd previously worked at Central Florida, the University of Memphis, Indiana University, your alma mater, Michigan State, and now Oregon State in Corvallis. I know where you are now, and I mean, I would anticipate you said, oh, what a great campus and community and all that here. I'm just wondering if you could, the differences, you've worked in a variety of places. What is the setting apart at Oregon State or something that's unique to or you've really appreciated in Corvallis that other places I'm sure have degrees of all of the same types of qualities, but we always hear people just rave about what a great community and family atmosphere and so on. What are your thoughts about Oregon State in a sense compared with, not to denigrate others, but just an atmosphere on campus here that you've observed and how that relates to some of the other stopping points I mentioned?
Sure. No, great question. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be on some phenomenal campuses, work with great coaches and staff, student-athletes, seen it at many different levels. The thing I would say here about Oregon State, when people ask me this question, there's a couple of things that do stand out specifically. Number one, I would say, is our student-athlete voice and their perspectives are just different. And I say that meaning they're very much more willing to put themselves out there in terms of sharing opinions, thoughts, and sort of where they're going in life, more so than I've ever seen. And I don't know if that's a West Coast thing or maybe it's just being in Corvallis and having this kind of environment. They feel like they can voice that opinion. It's really rewarding to walk into the Gill Coliseum every day and know that your day won't quite ever be the same, but you're going to meet some great athletes. You're going to talk to some of the same students and have some phenomenal conversations. They just get it. And I've never worked with athletes like this in my life. And I've been doing this almost 20 years now. And they just really have a unique perspective. So that's definitely number one. Number two, I would say this campus collaboration here is really strong. You know, some places, you literally are on the other side of the tracks. You literally are in a different area physically where athletic buildings are and everybody else. And here, it just doesn't feel that way. You have extremely strong collaboration across multiple units. And I spend a lot of time in my week in meetings with different folks on campus that we work with, whether it's the Honors College or Career Development or Student Health Services or the Cultural Centers or Student Engagement, Civic Engagement, what have you. It might be a different thing every week, but there's a feeling and there's a firm belief that we have to collaborate to get things done. I mean, Oregon State, we are a little leaner here. We don't maybe have as much staff as some other of our peers. So we have to figure out a way to collaborate. So that's been great. And then I think Corvallis, as a community, the only place I'd maybe compare it to a little bit is Bloomington, Indiana, when I worked at IU. Bloomington is a little bit larger than here, but similar in that there's a very strong community feel. Things revolve around the university. People care about what happens at the university. They care about athletics. They care about academics. But they also care about the enhancement of the lives of the students and the staff in the community. So to me, those three things stand out. It's a phenomenal place. I'm really, really, really enjoyed my time here, and I hope I'm here for a very long time.
Kimya, when were you a pitcher at Michigan State? What was your time period?
97 to 2000.
What was your ERA?
I don't know. I probably say it was about 4 or 5. But my caveat to that is that in those days.
Yes, Gorilla Ball. Gorilla Ball. Gorilla Ball.
That's
right.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much different.
So when you were.
And my curveball was terrible. So that's
part not much of a break. When you were pitching in the Big Ten at Michigan State, late 90s, around the turn of the century, if someone would have said, hey, Oregon State baseball, what would you have said? And if someone would have said, Oregon State will win 3 national championships in the next 20 years, what would you have said?
I would have said no way, because I lived in Southern Oregon as a kid until I was about 12 or 13 in Grants Pass, Ashland. My dad was in radio, actually. My dad's a radio guy for 30 years.
We're going to have to find out who. What's his name?
Doug Massey. He worked at some of the public radio stations in Southern Oregon.
Okay.
And so it was funny. You didn't think much of baseball that much in the Northwest. You really didn't. And then I moved. I play. And then in the mid-2000s, here come the Oregon State Beavers. And everyone's like, what's going on in Oregon State? How do they have a strong baseball program? They end up winning, doing what they do. And Pat obviously built that program. And I have a ton of respect for Pat. I love him. And I always enjoy talking to him. And, now to be here many, many years later and to be a part of that and to see that and to meet some of those young men and some of those alumni, it's been pretty incredible for me as a baseball guy. And I love the spring season, just going to games.
Yeah.
And I could be a little incognito and, wear my hat and hang out and just watch baseball and just watch the game unfold. And I still think I still personally think it's the best game out there. Battle within the battle. I love it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Where were you in the mid-2000s in 5, 6, and 7? And did you find yourself as an Oregonian from 0 to 12, did you find yourself defending Oregon State if there was some mockery and derision from wherever you were? Like, who are these Beavers? They're not going to win at all. Where were you around that time?
I was at Michigan State until 2006. I went back there to get my master's. I was an academic counselor for a long time for student athletes. So I was there until 06, and then 06 to 09, I was at Indiana. So during that rise, I was transitioning, but I was still in the Big Ten. And I actually worked with some Indiana programs in baseball who ended up being really good teams. Later on, right as I left, they got really good. But, I was always a supporter of the Pac-12, and I loved watching Oregon State baseball. I loved the grit and the grind and the passion that they had and just the way they played the game. You weren't going to outplay them. Maybe they had some talent, but they maybe didn't have the most talent, but you knew you weren't going to outplay them. So I was always a staunch defender, and I've always considered myself a true Oregonian since I lived here as a youngster.
And that's a piece of information that I did not know. In reading your online bio, it doesn't talk about you having been born and reared in Grants Pass. But you're Indiana. By the way, Kim, were you working for IU when Matt Boyd shut out Indiana in the College World Series in 2013 in a complete game 1-0 masterpiece?
No, I did not. Mm-hmm. I had moved on at that point. Okay. I was working at UCF at that time.
Gotcha.
I do remember that game because I knew a lot of those players in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They had progressed, and I knew a lot of them at that time.
Okay. Hey, the final thing then, and we appreciate a perspective on so many things. You mentioned pitching at Michigan State, East Lansing, 97 through 2000. In an era, if you have an ERA of 5 or under, you're good, because the ball did jump. It was the championship game in 98 was USC 21, Arizona State 14. That was the final score of a baseball game. So if you're in that 4 or 5 range, you're doing fine. What was Michigan baseball at Michigan State, its place in the community, the sporting hierarchy there? Did you get fans? Was the ballpark good? Has it become a bigger deal in the modern era or what?
Yeah, good question. It wasn't a big deal then. We played a place called Copes Field, KOBS, and it was a little rough of a field, but I love the setting. I don't know if you've ever been to Michigan State's campus.
But I have
very
not.
Similar to Oregon State.
Okay.
It's an ag school. It's a land-grant institution. It's a beautiful campus. So we're in a great spot. The field maybe needed some upgrades at the time, and that came a few years after I left. We were not the best program, to be real honest. We were sort of in the bottom third of the Pac-12 or the Big Ten at the time. At that point, Michigan was really strong. Ohio State, Nick Swisher, played against Nick Swisher, and a guy named J.J. Putz, who we know, who played with the Mariners for a while. Those guys were sort of running the league. we played, Mark Mulder was on my team. I played 3 years with Mark Mulder. He played the big leagues for about 9 or 10 years. He was sort of our premier guy. Ended up having a good career. Ended up a 3 pick in the draft, I think, in 2000.
So, he was on your team? Mark Mulder?
Yeah, he was on my team. 3 years with Mark.
Yeah, cool.
So we progressed. The program's progressed a ton. I mean, they redid the stadium. They rebuilt the stands, the field. They've gotten more support from the administration, and they've gotten much, much better. They've been in NCAA tournaments. They progressed a lot, which is great as an alum to see. They're no Oregon State, but they've made a lot of progression. But I had an incredible experience. I was very, very fortunate to be involved in a lot of the student athlete development things. Back then, they called it life skills, so I was very involved in that. And I was actually the only minority member on the team. I'm biracial, and I think that actually shaped a lot of my visions and thoughts and a lot of what we're going through now with this particular situation. I was the only one on my team and had to face some injustice and some things like that, but it really shaped, I think, who I was, but also as a student athlete, being able to interact with administrators and folks on campus and also seeing teammates. It's really sort of shaped my career and my path, and many of my mentors are still Michigan State folks and people I've kept in touch with over the years.
Kim, we kind of round back in closing, you know, just your own thoughts from your own experiences, and those come to bear and play in your conversations with our current student athletes and all the issues that are being faced and wrestled with and studied and all of the things that you touched on when we first began the conversation. Let's close with something John asked you kind of about a timetable, sooner rather than later. Is there anything else right now or in the days ahead, getting through finals and all of that? Just some other things we can look for with respect to your office, what you're involved with, student-athlete development. Is that kind of the next big piece, the structured thing that you were talking to us about? Are there some other things you're working on now?
Yeah, we're always working on different things. And I think as we look towards the summer, we want to give the student-athletes a little bit of a break here in June just to get reacclimated. As you know, some of those student-athletes are transitioning back to campus. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure, first and foremost, health and safety and their welfare is at the top of the list. Make sure they get comfortable here, and we'll go through our protocols there from a health and safety standpoint. In July, we'll start doing more with our student-athlete development, sort of what I call normal programming. We're going to do more mock interviews this summer and sort of help our students prepare for interviewing. Obviously, we do things like resume development, things of that nature. Alexis Cern and Scott Spiegelberg have done an incredible job on our Beaver Athlete Network, which is sort of a LinkedIn for former Beaver athletes. We like to connect our former athletes with our current athletes. So we're going to do more there. And then my other staff member, Lindsay Goodman, has been incredible in terms of helping us structure and organize some classwork for our student athletes. We try to help them get acclimated to life as an athlete. So we'll be working on those things. But we'll also be looking at this current scenario with the racial injustice that's happening in our country. And again, I don't want to say exactly the timetable. We don't have that set yet, but we will have something rolling out this summer in terms of a structured system to take action and led by student athletes in collaboration with campus that will allow us to move forward as a society. And I know we're a microcosm of that, but these young men and women are 18 and 23. They're going to be leaving this campus at some point, and they're going to be doing great things. So we want to give them the tools and the resources to be able to do that and to spread out to wherever they're going in their lives to make a difference.
Well, we look forward to that, Kimya, and really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for the time today. We've hit Lindsay up as well. I know that similar territory, but she also has some things she's working on. I hope that Lindsay can join us soon on the show as we continue the conversation. If you're her boss, maybe you can tell her, you know, you better go on the Joe's. You know, it's fully her choice, but we'd love to talk to her as well. So
yeah, she's great. Yeah. Our staff does an incredible job, and they have great connectivity to our athletes. And, you know, this is a really, really great place to work. And I think, our student-athlete development staff, along with the other staffs like the athletic training staff, our strength and conditioning staff, our academic support staff, all the different support staffs here, I think that's another thing that makes this place special. You have people who really fully care about student-athlete welfare. They care about their experiences. They care about what happens after they leave Corvallis. And you just don't always find that. You really, really don't. So, yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Kimya.
You're good people.
Kimya, great to talk to you. Thanks for the time. Our thanks to Kimya Massey for joining us. John, that was a wide-ranging, encouraging conversation. As he said, there's some big news coming, sooner rather than later about a well-planned structure that will help continue a lot of these efforts forward.
Yeah, and that's interesting because while we're waiting on that, there's so much happening just with sports returning. So I think in the next month and a half, things are really going to start to pick up and get very interesting.
Student-athletes returning to Corvallis, and that means soon, very soon, we hope that you and all of us will be able to visit Corvallis as in the days of old. Visit Corvallis, experience Beaver Game Day fun live in Corvallis, and extend your stay when you do, and take in all that the beautiful Willamette Valley has to offer. Check out visitcorvallis.com. Visit Corvallis, come for the game, and stay to play.
And the Beaver Sports Podcast, all season long, has been brought to you in part by Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897.
Thanks to all of you for listening. We'll have another edition next week of the Beaver Sports Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hom Kombucha. It's feel good, taste good kombucha, packed with probiotics and boosted with B12 vitamins, brewed in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.